I'd like to welcome Rick Patterson, who is the Executive Director of the Shooting, Arms, and Ammunition Manufacturers Association and a fellow board member with the World Forum on Shooting Sports Activities. Rick?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, patriots. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be among so many who have done so much to promote and protect individual liberty and freedom, or as the left knows us, terrorists. The Sporting Arms and Ammunition Manufacturers Institute is probably best known for our safety, reliability, interchangeability standards for firearms, ammunition, and components. But in reality, we deal with virtually every regulatory agency in the world. From that, we do a lot, of course, with the United Nations. And as you all know, there's something out there called an arms trade treaty. And the arms trade treaty was developed and pushed by civil society. And the way it's structured, it introduces the idea of human rights violations, gender-based violence into the decision-making process of whether or not a firearm or ammunition can be transferred. And the way they set it up, it gives civil society the opportunity to veto any firearms or ammunition deal in the world. Who is civil society? Civil society is big money individuals. They are not elected by anyone. They are not accountable to anyone but themselves. And yet they want to hold the transfer of firearms and ammunition. They want sole responsibility for that. One man's terrorist is another's freedom fighter. What they want to do is determine who will have the power in the world. They want to control that. That is the very definition of evil governance. At the same time, you have what I can only look at and call the militarization of the corporate world. You look at what corporations are getting involved with. It has nothing to do with their products anymore. It has to do with wealthy CEOs looking to exert power and influence beyond their company. We have 145 CEOs from what was portrayed as the major companies, the major corporations. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, and they listed the five or six names, Levi's, Dick's, Uber, you know the names. And that's all they've listed. Good luck finding the list of the actual full 145 signatories. I tracked it down. I didn't recognize any of those names. I thought we were going to be dealing with, you know, the top companies, Fortune 500 companies, you know, companies with more than 1,000 employees. You know, there's roughly 8,000 corporations with more than 1,000 employees. Even by that criteria, 145 is a pretty small number. I did some research into some of those companies. These are little, small companies, one, two, five employees. There are 18,203,000 corporations in America alone. 145 signed a piece of paper supporting gun control. That is not the widespread support for gun control that it was portrayed. But it does represent what we see as the elites trying to maintain control without election, without a democratic process. And I have to define elites, by the way, because it has nothing to do with how much money you have. There are a lot of people with a lot of money that put a lot of support for individual rights and freedoms. The elites that I refer to are the people who have money, who think they have all the answers. They think they should be controlling what you and I do. That's the elites. We deal with a lot of issues, on both the gun control side as well as the animal rights side. And what we're dealing with in Europe with the banning of lead ammunition, all of that. When you boil those issues down, there's commonalities with the approach of the left. And the biggest thing that I see fits into several categories. Number one, these far-left activists, they have a need to control. That's fundamental to what they're trying to accomplish. They're angry. We scare them. We can take care of ourselves. We can protect ourselves. We can provide food for ourselves. We are self-supporting. We do not need the systems, the institutions that they're comfortable with. This whole issue really boils down to whether you trust individuals or do you trust institutions. They want us codependent on their institutions. As long as we have firearms, we aren't. They will also do or say anything to win. On the reach issue, we took the animal rights numbers of birds being killed by lead ammunition. We extrapolated that out using population modeling to show that while there are individuals within a species that do die from lead poisoning, and that's a serious issue, it is not affecting populations. And so a ban is completely disproportionate to the actual risks. We're coming down to a decision-making time in that REACH process in the EU. And about a month ago, those same scientists came out with a study that said, oops, our numbers on our original studies were wrong. The number of birds being affected really is a lot bigger. And oh my gosh, by the way, it's a population impact. They will do or say anything to get their point across. Scientific integrity is not in their vocabulary. They are intolerant of differences. There is no compromise in their approach. They will take little by little by little, but there is no compromise, and we know what their end game is. And thank goodness for Beto making that abundantly clear and bringing that out into the light. They don't accept responsibility for their own actions. You know, how many of the mass murders that involve firearms happen in gun-free zones that they created? They won't take credit for that. They won't take responsibility for that. They obviously have feelings of superiority. They have all the answers. We just have to, you know, be the minions and obey. And they blame their target. They blame us, law-abiding citizens, for the problems created by murderers, by the problems created by well-intentioned but very, very poorly executed and wrong gun control legislation. If you take those factors, enter them into a Google search, you know what comes up? Bullying. We're dealing with bullies. That's their approach. There's a very interesting article, Psychology Today, 6 Smart Ways to Deal with a Bully. And there are lessons that we can learn from this as we go out and promote freedom and liberty. Number one and two, they're connected. Be confident and stay connected. One of the goals, one of the approaches that the left is trying to do here, they're trying to separate us from society. They're trying to minimize us. They want us to feel like we're inferior. And you know, when you're at a cocktail party, when you're out talking at friends at a football tailgate, they don't want you talking about the gun issue because we have facts. We can influence. They want to control the entire message. They want you to feel inferior. They want you not to talk, not to speak up.
Be confident, stay connected. We have to reach, as somebody mentioned it earlier, we have to reach outside our silos. We have to talk to our friends, our neighbors. Keep in mind, the elites are by definition a minority. You've got a whole bunch of people out there who are just trying to live their lives. And they're being bombarded with this information. It's not that they're bullies, they just don't know. It's our responsibility to educate them on all the great things that we do and all the information that we have. Step number three in how to deal with a bully: use simple, unemotional language. Don't be apologetic. Don't be confrontational. That's what they want. That gives the bully power. You have to set limits. And I'm going to quote from the article: remain polite and professional while still being firm. And this one I think is key also. Practice your response so you're prepared the next time something happens. When you have that information, you can act quickly and consistently. And finally, and this one has a couple of meanings for us, strike while the iron is cold. Again, quote, cool heads find better solutions than hot ones. And that has a double meaning for us, because what is the left trying to do? They try to use the heat of the moment. They try to use the emotion of terrible, terrible tragedies to get people to make decisions in the heat of the moment. Psychologists tell us that's not the right time to make a decision, and yet that's exactly when the left wants us to make that decision on gun control issues. Strike while the iron is cold. Be unemotional and make the points. Calm, cool heads will always prevail and result in a better decision. You know, we are the people who champion having the tools to defeat criminals and tyrants. In order for us to win this battle, we also have to learn to use a new tool, the tools on how to defeat bullies, because that's what we're facing. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you for everything that you do, and of course, the Second Amendment Foundation for making this possible.
One of the best things about being the moderator is I get to see all my friends.